Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today's date is July the 3rd. It's the Feast of Thomas the Apostle. It's a Friday. We're going to spend the rest of the program talking about Thomas and faith. You ever have doubts? You ever feel like your faith is weak? What's the best way to handle it when you don't have a strong faith? We're going to talk about that over the next 30 minutes or so. I hope you can settle in, relax. For those of you who are in the United States, I hope you're settling in for a good weekend. Listen, this is a weird time in history. Not a lot of people doing things for the 4th of July, or if they do, they're scaled back. So it's a challenging time. I'm not going to kid you. It's a challenging time to be alive, but for some reason, and you know, I don't know why, but the Lord has chosen us to be alive during this challenging period in time. So let's try to make the best of it, and hang out together and talk about those doubts that we all have from time to time. And I think it's safe for me to say we all do have those doubts at times. What do? When we're praying and praying and praying, and we see no relief in sight, or we see no apparent answer to our prayers, we're requesting things to change, they aren't changing, what do we do? Oh, I think we could see a lesson from the life of St. Thomas, but also I'm going to say this, there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger picture when it comes to our role in spreading the good news, and I think we need to embrace that role. And by looking at the life of Thomas and how Jesus dealt with him, I think we can get some hope for us too. So if your faith is a little weak, if you're feeling like you don't have it today, if you're wondering what the heck I'm talking about, why don't you make it a goal to stick around for the rest of the program, and we're going to talk about just that. There were a few times when I thought maybe I won't do a show today, or maybe I'll just take the weekend off, but once I started thinking about Thomas, I thought, no, I really have to get this message out there to give you some hope, because when I feel the Holy Spirit's inspiring me to do something, I just got to go with it. So I was a little tired today. I took a nap before I did the show. It was an unintentional nap. It's hot here. I think it's in the high 90s here in southern New Jersey, at least the mid 90s. And when that happens, I love the hot weather, but it was just dragging me down a little bit, sucking the life out of me. So even though I'm in air conditioning, I really feel it when it gets this hot. And I just fell asleep. I laid down on the couch for a minute, fell asleep. But now we're here, ready to get started, ready to do this show. So why don't we begin by praying? Let's turn to our Heavenly Father. Let's give Him some thanks. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Let's acknowledge that He is the source of everything that we have, and ask Him to help us throughout the rest of this program and for the remainder of the day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, you know, it's amazing when I think about the fact that I have control over whether or not I turn to You in prayer. You are the Creator of the entire universe. You created everything out of nothing. As I look around, I see the blue sky, I see the trees, I see the birds. I think about the oceans, the mountains, all the people who have ever lived. You created every one of these things out of nothing. And yet, I am able to speak to You every day. My Creator, I am able to speak to You. And furthermore, You want me to speak to You. You want to have a relationship with me. As insignificant as I may seem, when I look at all of Your creation, You desperately desire to have a relationship with me. And in fact, that's why You created me. And yet, Father, the only thing that can come in the way of our relationship is me not responding, or me not wanting to spend time with You. It's incredible that You give me this freedom. You give me the ability to have a conversation with You, to ask You for what I need, to praise You, to experience Your peace through our relationship. And yet, I still have the free choice to not do that. Why would I not do that? Why would I not turn to You? Well, as you know, there's a lot of different reasons. And sometimes I am guilty of not turning to You, of not spending some time with You, of putting You at the bottom of my list. And Father, for those times, I'm sorry. I am here now. We are here. And we're grateful to be here in your presence, Father. We praise you. We acknowledge you as the creator of everything. We acknowledge your power. We bow before you. You are Almighty God, and we recognize that. Father God, we ask you this day to grant us whatever it is we need, spiritual and material. We pray, Father, for an end to this seemingly endless coronavirus that has gone on and on and on and on. We ask you to put an end to it. And to, Father, immediately alleviate the suffering of those who are affected by the virus in any way. So many people are affected in so many different ways by this virus. And we're going to keep praying, Father. We're going to keep praying because you know, we know that you want things restored to normal. But you want us to learn something from this. So please help us to learn what it is you want us to learn, so that we can get back to living life the way we were used to. Externally, that is. Internally, we want to be different. Father, I ask that you use me as your instrument today on the program. You're going to have to give me the words, guide my thoughts so that the words come out right. If you want me to go down a different path, please send an outpouring of your spirit to redirect me. And while I'm at it, I'm going to ask that you send an outpouring of your spirit to all of us. Increase your Holy Spirit in us so that we're able to hear what you say, especially in the words of Scripture. Respond and go out and make a difference, because we know that's what you want us to do. We know that these words of Scripture aren't just meant for us to say, that's a really good point. But these words of Scripture are meant to change us, to make us respond and go do something. So we pray for the grace to be able to do that. Father, we're sorry for any sins that we may have committed up until this point in time today. We pray for the grace to finish out the day without turning away from you, without committing any more sins. Father, we pray for these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, listen, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for praying with me as we celebrate this Friday, getting ready to go into a long holiday weekend. I hope you are peaceful wherever you are. I hope you're safe. I hope you know that I pray for you every day. And I would ask for your prayers in return. It really means a lot to me. I thank you for your support of this program. I thank you for your contributions to my ministry. You're helping me keep going. These are tough times for many people. I am in the same boat. It's really hard to keep this ministry going and to support my family. But your contributions help me to do that. So I thank you for that. If you would like to help to keep me on the air and keep my ministry funded and keep me, and this is no lie, keep me being able to feed my family, the way to do it is to go to followingthetruth.com. That's my website. All you need to do is click on donate, and you can donate securely through PayPal. You can either make a one-time donation or you can become a monthly sponsor. Whatever you do, I am so grateful for any financial support that you could send my way. That's followingthetruth.com. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, the daily email devotional that I send out every day. Cost you nothing. All you need to do is supply your email address, and you'll be all set. Followingthetruth.com. Okay, so today the church celebrates the feast of Thomas, one of the apostles, the doubter, right? We all know him as Doubting Thomas. We're going to talk about Thomas and look at a famous incident in his life taken from the Gospel of John today. I'm also going to look at the first reading from today's Mass, because the church uses the first reading and the Gospel to really, and the responsorial psalm, to send a message, to pay tribute to Thomas, but more importantly, to let us be inspired by his life. That's the reason the church chooses these readings. So with that in mind, let's look at the first reading from today's Mass. It's a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. The words of St. Paul, brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, you know, this is a bit of a pep talk here. Sometimes we look at people such as Thomas the Apostle and any of the apostles, even though they have their faults, some of them are really documented. Peter's faults are incredibly documented, as are the faults of Thomas and various other people. But we still put them in a different category. These guys are the saints. They're the heavyweights. They're not like us. They're the apostles. They're strong and we're weak. Did you ever do that? Did you ever feel that way? Well, these guys are saints. I'm not saint category. But yet, every one of us was created in order to become a saint. A saint is someone who lives in heaven. Ultimately, that's the goal of our lives, to be able to reach heaven, live in heaven with God forever and ever, for all eternity. In heaven, you, me, St. Thomas, St. Peter, we're all going to be, I want to say equal. And you know, this is not getting into some of the theological details, but we're all going to be in heaven. We're all going to be citizens of heaven. So in a sense, we're all going to be in the same boat. We have to stop looking at ourselves as inferior, because God intends for us to become great saints and make it to heaven. But we're not going to do that on our own power. And what you'll see from today's gospel is that Thomas was weak, just like you and me. But you're going to see how Jesus reaches out to him. And I think that's the main point I want to drive home today. But getting back to this first reading, St. Paul himself, a persecutor of Christians, somebody Jesus handpicked to be the apostle to the Gentiles, he reminds us that we are, as Christians, as baptized Christians, we are part of the body, the mystical body of Christ, or the church. So you and me and the souls in purgatory and the saints in heaven, we are all part of the church. The church is not just composed, this is Catholic teaching, we're not just composed of the people who are alive in the church on earth, in members of the church on earth. The souls in purgatory, the saints in heaven, and those of us on earth, we make up the church. So we're all part of the church, the mystical body of Christ. And through him, through Jesus, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. We are built together. You are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So individually, let's look at ourselves individually. We are members of the body of Christ, held together by in unity by the Spirit. So you and me, we have the Spirit. The Spirit is what we share in common. The Spirit allows us to exist together as members of the body of Christ. So we, like Thomas, have a role to play. And sometimes, again, we point to other people. It's the priest, it's the deacons, the religious sisters, the great saints. They all had a role to play, but I am not worthy to proclaim the good news. Not at all. That's not true. You and me, we need to get busy. And look, let's face it, we live in a really tough time right now. There is definitely a need for the gospel to be proclaimed. And the reason I want to key on this is because of the responsorial psalm today. It comes from Psalm 117. This is the message. This is the call to action. This is the takeaway, I think, from today's, the ultimate takeaway from today's reading. And it's one we have to remember. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. We all have people that we can reach. It starts with the people in our homes, our family, extended family, friends, Facebook friends, Twitter followers, people who follow us on Pinterest or whatever, people we can call up, people we can text. You know, there's a lot of bloggers. The ability to blog now is much more readily available than it was a few years ago. So we can reach people in different ways. go out to all the world and tell the good news. And that responsorial psalm, so what we see here is the actual verse, the response that we're using is from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. It comes from the words of Jesus. But the actual psalm for the responsorial psalm is Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. For steadfast is his kindness for us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. So our job as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called, just like the apostles were, to share the good news. Maybe not in a formal sense as they were, they're part of the inner circle, but remember, they were also, as well as being the leaders, the pillars of the early church, they were the original members of the church, the original followers of Christ. So in a sense, we're all called to that same role, just like Thomas the Apostle, who we celebrate today. So you and me, we're called to go out to all the world and tell the good news. Does that mean we're always going to be feeling it? No. And we've talked about that on the show. I was just talking about that. There's going to be days when we don't feel it, days we're going to be having our doubts. That's why this story of Thomas is so important. So the gospel from today's Mass we look at comes from John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. This was after our Lord rose from the dead. So this is toward the end, the very end of John's gospel, after our Lord rose from the dead. Let's listen to these words about the apostle Thomas. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So remember, initially, after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his followers. Well, Thomas wasn't there. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think this was an accident, that Jesus chose a time when they were not all available? There was a reason for this. And where was Thomas, you might ask? We don't really know. But all I know is that they were in fear, hiding. But they were together. They were probably trying to figure out what they do next, because these guys somehow missed the point that Jesus was to rise from the dead, and they were panicking. They were hiding in fear for what might happen to them. They thought they could possibly be next, but Thomas wasn't even there. Now, it's possible that Thomas was having such a crisis of faith that he was completely isolated. He ran away. He didn't want to be with anybody. That is possible. But eventually he made his way back into the company of his brothers, the apostles. And this gives us a good example of why it's important for us to maintain a circle of Christian friends, people who can support us. And there's a lot, you know, these are challenging times, so it's hard to get together, to meet with brothers and sisters in Christ. But we can do it virtually. There are ways to do this. We need to be built up, because otherwise you can easily crash and burn when you have a crisis. But Thomas eventually got his way, made his way back, and the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, listen to these words, they're familiar words, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So Thomas, being a skeptic, being somewhat unconvinced of what his friends were telling him, says, "Unless I see for myself with my own eyes, I will not believe that the Lord is risen." Now, you might think that that's really a bad position to take. He's got a bad attitude. But that's really not the point. The point I want you to understand is what happens next. A week later, his disciples were again inside. Thomas was with them. So you see, he's sticking with them. He's not isolating himself, which is a good thing. He was sticking with them, and all of a sudden, Jesus came, although the doors were locked, stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." So do you see what happened there? Jesus was determined to make it back to Thomas, to reach out to him, to meet him where he was, and reassure him that he did indeed rise from the dead. And his first words are, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." So in other words, Thomas, and see, this is why it's not necessarily a bad thing to question. It all depends on your attitude. Thomas wanted to believe, but he needed some proof. And Jesus loves that kind of attitude, because if all it takes is a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Can't think of a word. I can't believe it. Is a little example or a little indication to help somebody believe, Jesus is all for that. And he meets Thomas. He said, "Look, here are my wounds. Put your finger here, see my hands, bring your hand, put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." He offers that evidence. All it takes is a little evidence. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All it takes is a little evidence. And then what happens? Now, automatically, we assume Thomas touched Jesus, touched the wounds of Jesus. But I want to point something out. There is no mention in this text that's exactly what happened. We read, Jesus said, "Put your finger here, see my hands, and bring your hand, put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Right? And we make the assumption that Thomas touched Jesus, felt him. That's the assumption we make. But the very next sentence says, "Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, let's talk about that. So, we don't know. Thomas could have touched Jesus. Jesus extended the offer. "Touch me. Touch my wounds. Put your fingers here to see that they're real." We don't know for sure that happened. All we know for sure is that Jesus was seen by Thomas. And at that point, Thomas spoke those famous words, "My Lord and my God." Great words, a prayer that many of us pray silently or very quietly to ourselves when the host is elevated at Mass. "My Lord and my God." I mean, many of us do that. It's a great expression of faith. Thomas saw Jesus. He saw a man, right? Saw a man. Didn't necessarily see God. He saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and he replied with, "My Lord and my God." So I'm saying this. Now, it took some faith for Thomas to come to that conclusion. Again, no evidence that he really touched Jesus. All he saw was Jesus. And he didn't recognize, he didn't say, "Jesus, you're here." He said, "My Lord and my God." So what happened was Jesus met him where he was, presented the evidence. Thomas saw him, and that was enough. He didn't question anymore. He saw Jesus, and all of a sudden he went straight from seeing Jesus to, "He is my Lord and my God." So I think Thomas deserves a little more credit than we give him. Remember, he wasn't with the disciples originally. Now, did he run away? Did he isolate himself? Possibly, probably. But eventually he got back with his friends and the Lord appeared once again. Thomas accepted him because, again, Jesus, if you're having doubts, if they're sincere doubts and you want to believe, Jesus will do whatever he can to help you, as he did to Thomas. He appeared to Thomas, and Thomas once again believed. Now, what did Jesus end with, however? "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." So, I think we need to take a step back and listen to these words and realize that Thomas came to believe because he saw Jesus in the flesh. You and me, we've never seen him in the flesh. We've read about him. We feel his presence at times. We receive him in the Holy Eucharist. We encounter him in the sacraments. but we've never seen him in the flesh. Do you believe? I'm not saying do you have super duper faith. Do you believe at all? If you pray, you believe. If you listen to a program like this, I would say odds are you believe. Jesus is saying you are blessed. You are blessed because you believe. He is praising you because of your faith. And it is so hard at times to believe. When you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and your prayers seemingly go unanswered. Again, we should be praying with the mindset of thy will be done, but it's very hard to keep going and have faith. But if you do, Jesus is praying you, saying good job. He's praising you, saying good job. So that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Good job. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Let's walk this road together. Let's encourage one another. And you know, let me end with, as we run out of time, it's so good that you're here, that we can walk this road together. Because if you isolate yourself like Thomas, who knows what the evil one's going to plant in your mind. And it's going to be really hard to believe if all you're doing is hanging out by yourself. So in these days when it is tough to get together with small groups, your Christian brothers and sisters, I hope you will make use of the time to listen to this program, to come and hang out with me. I'm here every Monday through Friday, and I do the Gary Zimak Show on weekends too, so we can hang out together, talk about Jesus. And we know that where two or three are gathered, he's with us. So we know he's here today too. All right, so thank you for listening to the program. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Remember, I'm praying for you. Let's keep it up. Let's keep the faith going even when it's difficult. We're going to get through this. The Lord is still with us, okay? And he is still in charge. So God willing, I will be back with you here on Monday. Hope you have a great holiday weekend. Again, happy Independence Day. And I look forward to seeing you on Monday. God bless you.